Hey, everybody, welcome back to another episode of the Catholic Talk Show. Today, we're going to be talking about sacramental wine.
That's right. We're going to take a look at some facts about the wine used in church that you probably never knew. And we're going to be drinking some of this wine and telling you which ones are the best.
In vino veritas.
Guys, this is an exciting episode. I think, you know, we're not drinking Caymus or anything like that.
Which is great.
Well, it's fine, but, you know, it's going to be a very interesting episode. I think a lot of people don't know about sacramental wine, and this episode is going to really allow them to understand a lot of nuances of sacramental wine that they've never known.
And we're breaking out my mama's wine glasses, these like short, no-stem glasses here. And we're going to taste test all of these Onida sacramental wines, and we're going to rate those. So make sure that you stay tuned to the very, very end of the show. And we even have a really cool offering that we're going to offer some of our people out there.
That's right.
And we'll tell you more about that a little bit later.
Yeah, so we're going to take the cork out of this a little bit here, right?
Ooh.
Hey, right?
Wow. Nice. Are we uncorked?
We are uncorked.
Very good.
Catholic Talk Show Uncorked.
Look, I was an altar boy, right?
And you used to sneak the wine.
You're darn right I did.
Dude.
Timmy Aaron, Timmy O'Donnell, if you're watching this, I'm ratting us out. Father Kevin, I'm sorry if you're watching this. Look, man, we were altar boys, and it was like, I got to taste this stuff,
dude,
right?
I would have picked up on your shenanigans, no doubt.
I know. We were good, but it's like, look, it's right there. It's very tempting. Now, it wasn't consecrated wine, and I think it's very important today to mention. None of the wines that we're drinking are consecrated
That's
wines.
Right.
There is nothing wrong with us drinking and enjoying these wines. They're not consecrated, but they are a valid species to be able to be consecrated during the Mass and be made into
the... That's an important thing to discuss because, I mean, that's...
You can't
be
just use any wine off the shelf.
That's right.
I mean, you can't go out and get some Apothic or...
Yeah.
What's the Australian stuff?
They're like Mad Dog 2020.
Right. There's no Cracklin' Rosie.
Buck Shack. You ever see that Buck Shack in a jug?
No.
Buck Shack?
You've exposed yourself now.
Buck Shack. Wow. Big shout out to Father Matt King who introduced me to the wine, Buck Shack.
Oh, wow.
No, it's legit. But there's canon laws governing the preparation of this wine that you see on the screen if you are watching us on YouTube. If you're not watching us on YouTube, you should. And if you haven't, go to YouTube today, subscribe, click the bell so that you get every single one of our productions. And there's really, really cool content like blooper reels and things that we put out there as well. So make sure that you're connecting with us on YouTube. We're on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And we are on all of the audio podcast forums from iTunes to Podbean to Spotify. So many podcast forums. So check out www.catholictalkshow.com. You'll see every way that you could listen in or view our content. Before we get started, big shout out to our patrons. If you want to support the show financially, go to catholictalkshow.com/Patreon and you'll see all the cool materials that we want to send your way for supporting our show.
Awesome. Now, you mentioned canon law.
Yeah.
You cannot use just any wine to be made into the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ at the consecration during Mass. You can't do it, right? But you can pretty much use just about any kind of wine. But there are some very specific rules governing the type of the production of the wine for Mass. And this comes from canon law, canon 924. Says the most holy sacrifice of the Eucharist must be celebrated in bread and in wine, to which a small quantity of water is to be added. So right there.
The water is the holy water, right?
No, it's just water. Yeah, it's just water.
Really?
Yeah.
So the water they put in the wine is not holy water.
No, it's not. There's nothing specific about it. It's just regular water.
That.
In the East, sometimes they'll use boiling water.
Wait,
yeah.
Hot water?
Hot water.
In wine.
Yeah, which kind of talks about the spiritation of it. But adding the water to it is the co-mingling. So there's a couple...
like Jesus on the cross.
Jesus on the cross. Blood and water came through.
Wow.
But there's also the divine and the man.
In fact, the commingling of the water and the wine at Mass is a beautiful moment. It's an ancient tradition. And the brief rite of pouring water into wine is used for consecration. And it goes all the way back to the Last Supper when it was the common practice among the Jews and in Mediterranean culture in general. And something interesting about the Council of Trent is that they would even go so far as to excommunicate whoever denied the need for this mixture, Canon 9, Session 22, which is really cool. And, you know, you look all the way back to this process of commingling, which is the mystery of what Christ accomplishes in his divinity with our humanity in the transformation that we undergo in that divination process of what Christ accomplishes in our spiritual communion, certainly at Eucharist.
Now, another thing is the canon doesn't specify what type of wine. Right, it could be Rioja, Crianza. It could be Syrah. It could be
Boone's Farm.
It doesn't specify what type, but it does specify the production methods and the purity of it.
Gotcha.
So going on in in part three of Canon 924, the wine must be natural, made from grapes of the vine, and not corrupt. It's also further stipulated that there can be no additives. You can't add like sulfites and preservatives. None of that stuff will fly.
Yeah, which is a very common thing.
It really is. Good luck finding a non-sulfite wine.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
And in Italy and Europe, you know, there's different places that don't carry them. But when you're storing something for longer periods of time and you know, like everything that we drink really in America is that some of the newer organic wines are kind of limiting that. But it's true. Everything that you basically see in Publix or wherever you go to school or go to grocery stores. Go to school. Well, like you, the Catholic school that you went to and you were dipping into that sacramental wine.
Sorry, Kevin.
Piggly Wiggly, you know, Vons, wherever
Giant
you're
Eagle.
At. There's preservatives in your stuff.
Well, you know, what you said in Italy, they serve a lot of wine that's fresh, you know, and it's not preserved.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like it's ready to go to the table.
And it is so delicious.
It's delicious.
I prefer Spanish wines, and we'll get into that. But Spanish wines are my favorite. Now, there's also some further stipulations, and we'll talk about the preservatives, right? Because you do want it to store for a while. Catholic wine needs to be actually pretty strong. You know, you can't have any of this, you know, weak,
grape
skinny
juice.
Girl wines, right?
Never had that.
Girlfriend, what are you talking about?
So it actually stipulates how much alcohol by volume the wine has to have. It has to be between 5 and 18%, which is between 10 and 36 proof.
Never had a wine 5%. Like, I don't know what that would
There's
look like.
There's low alcohol wines and stuff like that out there.
Really?
Yeah, but you have 18% it's a pretty strong wine.
Oh, yeah, that's strong.
But that's really where you want it to be at. That's kind of the magic number for a good Catholic sacramental wine is 18%.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a few reasons for that. Number one, you want it to be able to last a long time. You want it to be able to be a good wine, right? You don't
The more alcoholic content, the stronger it is, the longer it'll last.
It'll last, right. Now, you're not allowed to add any preservatives to the wine, but there you can add like port or sherry to it, right? You can add fortified wines to your regular wine.
So you fortify it with port.
Right. To get it up.
From a grape.
From a grape, exactly.
Yeah.
It says 100% pure grape, and this one is alcohol 12% by volume.
Okay.
But what's interesting, it says it contains sulfates. Yeah. Sulfites.
I don't know. We'll see.
That's no good.
That's no bueno. We'll see. But having strong wine helps it last longer. And they found that by adding ports, sherries, fortifying the wine, getting it up to 18%, it lasts longer.
More alcohol leads to preservation.
Now, there is people who have addiction issues with drinking. There's a lot of people. A lot of people suffer from that.
Yeah.
And even though we're having fun with alcohol and wine in this episode, that shouldn't be understated, and everything should be enjoyed in moderation.
Yes, right? Absolutely. But that's why they have must-em.
That's exactly
what's a must-em.
So sometimes a priest, maybe who has a really bad drinking problem, still needs to celebrate mass, but can't drink alcohol because it's just too much of a, you know, an issue with them.
So they have to consummate the mass by drinking? They not?
Mm-hmm. You have to.
Because I know.
Yeah, it's not like you could just receive the host and that's it. You have to receive
it's
under both species.
Right there in Canon 924. It
you
has
have
to be.
To
and the priest
the
has to consume it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they have a thing called must, which comes from Latin for like the young wine. And basically, it's like
Grape juice almost becoming wine.
But it has all the seeds and stems, the skins in it and everything.
Whoa.
Right? Because that's how you make wine. You crush it up and then you filter it.
Yeah.
But you're drinking this stuff when it just starts to ferment. And this, you know, it'll have a very low.
Not something you want on the table.
No, you're not going in. Reading a good book with a glass of must. No. You know, it's not.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking, because it's not fully fermented.
But, you know, the church in her wisdom has found that there's instances where you have to have that. Now, there's no, you know, like with the Eucharist, you can't have low, no,
you
gluten
can't have
free.
No gluten. You can't have gluten-free. Even though people call it gluten-free,
there's
it's
still
not gluten-free. There's still a small amount of gluten in the host.
Same thing with must, right? There's still some alcohol in it, right?
So technically it's low gluten and low alcohol content.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So those are some of the requirements, right? Mm-hmm. Now, but you can use any grape. You can use, you know, Pinot Grigio, Pinot Noir. You can use Malbec or whatever the kind of
Sauvignon.
Word. Sauvignon Blanc.
Sauvignon Franc.
Sauvignon Franc.
I just wanted to say that.
Yeah, right. You can use any of those. So there's really not a type of wine, but necessarily
It's grape. The fruit of the vine.
Right. And even in the Mass, there's the part that I always hear and I always love. It's, you know, this work of human hands, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's an offering. And it calls, sometimes they'll say.
So important.
You know, that calls to mind the offering of Abel the Just, right?
Yeah. Who? Melchizedek.
Well, Abel, right? Because Abel offered grains where Cain was offering meat, right?
Yeah.
And it's that offering. But why wine? Why is wine so important? Now, obviously, Last Supper, right? Jesus said, take this cup, all of you, and drink from it. It'll be shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. But that goes back to the Jewish Passover meal, right?
Yes.
You had to have that wine.
Yeah.
And the wine was an important part of so many Jewish ceremonies and so much of life. Because back then in the ancient world, you couldn't drink water consistently. Because water would have bacteria. Water would be unreliable. You couldn't store it for long because then it'd go bad, right? You know, it'd start developing disease. So you had to find ways to preserve water, especially in these arid desert climates. So wine and fermented drinks, beer, wine, became incredibly important just for survival.
Yeah, they burned out all the bacteria.
Exactly. Yeah. And they lasted a long time. Huh. And they had also it's a way of getting a lot of calories too, which is important, right? In a calorically challenged world.
Yeah.
So the ancient relationship with wines and beers was one of necessity and survival, but one of a really deep relationship between everyday life. So you see this in the Jewish customs, and then you see Jesus and the apostles celebrating the Passover and then instituting the Eucharist at that Last Supper. Mm. And that's where we get the wine. And it is an absolute necessity because it was at the Savior's command that we celebrate and remember him by drinking of the cup.
And so what we're talking about is the purity of the wine, right? Because additives can be placed into a wine bottle just like beer, right?
Mm-hmm.
So like the modern productions, I think that's what it is. It's a modern production that we have today that offsets all this stuff.
And what I'm reading too is, and when it comes to purity, what's meant is like natural, right? So that natural wine is the term that's used in canon law, and there are allowances of sulfites in the process of making the wine, but it cannot corrupt the wine itself.
Well, sulfites can occur naturally, correct?
Well, it's apparent that like St. Petersburg issued a letter from the diocese. Sulfites are added in such small amounts that the Holy See has had no objection to them, since their presence does not corrupt the wine. Another commentary from the Holy Father: the wine that is used in the most sacred celebration of the Eucharistic sacrifice must be natural, from the fruit of the grape, pure and incorrupt, not mixed with other substances. Great care should be taken so that the wine intended for the celebration of the Eucharist is well conserved and has not soured. And that's where it's almost giving allowance for a small amount of addition of sulfites.
What is a small amount of sulfite? You know, like,
I don't know. I don't know how much sulfites what is what, but I'm sure it's a negligible amount enough to, you know, maintain whatever it needs to maintain.
For a smaller period of time than something in a bottle for 8 years.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's one scripture that I really love. It's 1 Timothy 5:23, and it goes back to that kind of thought of in the ancient world needing to drink wine. And Paul is writing to Timothy, and he said, drink no longer only water, but you drink a little wine for your stomach's sake and for your often sicknesses.
Wow.
And that's because, you know, Timothy was, you know, really trying to be a good boy, right? Not drinking and stuff. And he's only drinking water, but he's getting all these bacteria and stuff, and it's messing him up. And Paul's saying, look, man, look.
Drink the alcohol. It'll defeat all that
stuff.
No,
it's not even defeat it. It's, you know, wine, even though you're trying to have this perfect abstinence, it's messing you up. So your abstinence is not as important as having some good health by drinking something that's a little healthier for you. Yeah. Instead of, you know, bacteria-laden water, you're drinking some wine. It's safer. Yeah. So he's kind of given him license to loosen up his own personal restrictions.
Yeah.
But I love that quote by St. Paul. Mm-hmm. It's like, hey, look, man, your stomach hurts a lot and you're not feeling good. Drink a little wine. It's good advice.
Yeah.
Which I think we should do.
I think we should do that as well.
Yeah, where should we start? I mean, and like, what are we trying to tell everybody that's listening today with all this?
Well, so there's the wine industry owes a lot to the Catholic Church, okay? During Prohibition, you weren't allowed to sell alcohol, right? And you had these massive vineyards, right?
Yeah.
Well, what are they going to do when they can't make wine anymore?
Sell grape juice? Well, they make it. What do they do with it?
Well, you can't even make it. You weren't even allowed to make it. So what happened is the Catholic Church still needed wine for Mass. So the Catholic Church would get contracts with a lot of wineries, and a lot of very old wineries owe their continued existence to the Catholic Church because they wouldn't have existed in Prohibition without the church and without the bishops getting special permission.
Wow.
And there's a lot of bishops who were selling a little bit of that wine on the side too.
Yeah, of course they were.
You know,
Why wouldn't you?
Well, because it's legal and you should be a just person, but you know that a lot of these bishops were doing it, right? And a lot of them were building these really nice churches in the 1920s, like, you know, Al Capone, big churches paid for with Prohibition money, you know, bootlegging.
Let's not throw Al Capone in this thing because there's no demonstrable evidence.
No, Al Capone was a bootlegger and these bishops were bootlegging too.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
You know. Well, one of those bootlegging bishops that we have here with Oneida is 1872, the most reverend Bernard J. McQuaid.
Yes. And Rochester, New York.
He established Oneida Vineyard.
Yep.
So that's the wine, the sacramental wine that we have to taste today. We have six versions, and then the last version we'll tell you about at the very end of our taste test, which is a really cool thing that's related to my parish here at St. John Paul II.
Yeah, Oneida is one of the biggest brands. There's three really big brands of church wine. So if you go to church and have the wine, it's probably one of the three. It's probably either Cribari, Oneida, or Mount LaSalle. Those are the big three, basically,
in the United States.
Yeah. Now, the Vatican has their own official supplier of wine. So all the wine, two interesting things
from
about the Vatican.
Spain, isn't it?
It is from Spain, and that's what
Why
I was talking
not?
About.
Why mm-hmm. not?
Well, there's a few reasons. Number one, they have an exclusive contract, right?
I said, why not?
Why not what? Well, because Spanish wine is awesome.
Why not Spain? It's awesome wine.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, I love Riojas. Oh.
Yeah. Riojas, Crianzas, Tempranillos, Grenache. Those are my favorites.
Yeah, Rioja is my favorite.
Well, Rioja is actually the type of wine they serve in the Vatican. Mm. It's Cordon Rioja, made specifically for the Vatican.
Yeah.
And it's an exclusive contract.
That's
they are
excellent.
The
and
supplier.
How many centuries is that contract?
Only
been
back
in place?
Only back for about 17 years.
No, that is like the first time I've ever heard the church has had a 17-year anything going on.
The church and popish Spanish wine goes back a long time, right?
Yeah, of course.
There's still to this day you can get a wine called a Borgia wine, okay? And the Borgia wine is grown in the former vineyards of the Borgias, who were Pope Alexander VI. And he was, you know, everyone knows Pope Alexander VI, the Borgia Pope, this most corrupt pope or whatever. Dude made some good wine, though, and his vineyards are still
pumping. He didn't make any corrupt wine, that's for sure.
His wine, his vineyards are still pumping out. So you can find a Spanish Borgia wine and know that they were made typically on vineyards that the Pope used to own. And there's also a very famous type of wine. It's called Châteauneuf-du-Pape, which was made in Avignon, France.
Oh,
and it's still
the Pope.
that wine still to this day will have the papal insignia on it. And you can buy that.
That's really cool. Good. I'd like to try that.
Where can you buy that?
You can order them online. You can order them at a lot of really specialty wine stores. Nice. Most expensive bottle of wine I've ever had.
Really?
No, not one of those.
Oh, okay.
I went to Burn Steakhouse in Tampa.
Oh, yeah.
Which is great.
It's the number two steakhouse in the country.
But it has the best wine cellar in North America. Mm-hmm. The largest wine cellar in North America, Burn Steakhouse. And I went there and, you know, I had a couple of Manhattans and I was feeling a little bit saucy, getting a little drunk, right? Yeah. And then they bring out the wine list. And I'm like, I'm looking through it. I'm like, I'm gonna buy a great bottle of wine. I'm going to spend $100 or something like that. I'm going to get a really good bottle of wine. And I see on the list a 1980. I was born in 1980. A 1980 Pope Clement VII wine, right? Made at Pope Clement's vineyard the year I was born. I'm like,
okay. You've got to do that.
How much was it?
It was $900.
Oh.
Yeah. But I'm like,
is
never
that the one you drank in the airport?
So $900 bottle of wine, right? Made in 1980 by the Pope's vineyard. Okay. But you're never going to get this opportunity again. So you drop the $900 if you can afford it. I could afford it at the time, so I got it. So I had a couple of glass. I had like a glass of it. And then we ate like some rabbit and some Chateaubriand. I'm full. And I'm like, I can't eat anymore. I can't drink anymore. I'm done. They're like, well, I'm like, I'm taking this bottle home. I'm not spending $900. I'm like taking the bottle. But they cork it for you and they take it home. So then I go to a meeting the next morning and whatever, and then I have to go to the airport to go back home. And I've got this bottle of wine still in a paper bag that's been sitting in the car all day in Tampa heat. Yikes. And we get to the airport. I'm like, oh, no, I'm not dumping out a $900 bottle of wine.
Well, yeah, what, half of it left? I don't know.
Three quarters of it left.
No way. So, you dummy. What are you doing?
No, I didn't pour it out.
So you're an idiot. Why didn't you drink the whole thing and take an Uber home?
Well, I didn't want to drink anymore. I didn't want to get...
We're talking about moderation, Delacross.
Right. I don't know.
Come on.
It's his birthday.
It wasn't my birthday. It was made in 80.
I know it's your birthday.
So I go to the airport and we're like, well, what are you going to do with this? So I drank a whole bottle of $900 Pope wine out of a paper bag in the... hot Pope wine out of a paper bag in the airport rental car return parking lot.
That's phenomenal.
So what you're saying is the Pope has vineyards.
The Pope
let's
has
come
vineyards.
Back to that, please.
There's better ways to drink it, but I still have that bottle. Dude. If you ever see when we're on our remote shoots and you see my background, that bottle is over my left shoulder.
Oh, that's cool.
Nice.
Yeah.
So I had a 1982 Chianti in that because I was born in 82 in that restaurant, and it was the cheapest 1982 bottle that I could get. It wasn't
How much
the
was
Pope's.
That?
It was still like $80 or something like that. Yeah, it wasn't bad.
I do keep a bottle of wine for all of my kids from the year they were born so that when they turn 21,
really cool.
I'll have a bottle of wine with
them. That's brilliant. That's a very good
idea.
So
if you have kids and, you know, your kids are
still
young,
that's a really good idea.
Get a bottle of wine from the year they were born. Maybe get a couple of them. That way you can give them when they're 21, when they're 30, when they're 40, because then they got this old wine, and it's always going to be something special.
After a certain amount of time.
You have to ask a good... you know, wine store, hey, is this a bottle that will last? Because some are meant and some aren't.
Like the Chianti, it wasn't the best wine I ever had.
Yeah.
And it was really filled with a ton of sediment and stuff.
It's terrible.
But I wouldn't say it was terrible, but it was the experience.
Yeah.
And that's what you're really, when you go to that restaurant, you're paying for the experience.
What about the experience of drinking God's blood?
Nothing,
that's what we're talking about.
Nothing
right now
compares to
Let
that.
Let me bring this back
to what this is
to the
is
Catholic
for.
Talk show, not to the sommelier wine show.
Yeah, right? Like I'm not concerned about you drinking a bottle of wine in the airport, and you, I don't even
drinking
know about
your
you.
Sediment.
Huh?
I had sediment all over my teeth, Ryan.
Yeah, you want your wine as free of sediment as possible, and just like you know, you have to your wines have to be free of additives and everything. Purity is really important, and there's something else that should be free, and that's Hollow.
Without
Hollow
a doubt.
Is the number one Catholic app. If it were a wine, it'd be a Chateauneuf du Pape.
Mm.
It would be Camus. It'd be the finest wine because it is a fine vintage of an app.
And you'd be willing to spend $900 on this type of an app.
And but the great thing is you could use this in an airport parking lot and make sense. It does. That's exactly what it's for, right?
Absolutely.
Now, great wine in the airport parking lot? No. Hollow, anywhere you want to go, you have the deep treasury of the prayer life of the church at your fingertips. look, I mean, is that worth $900?
What do you want to do?
I mean, that's worth $900.
Absolutely.
But you know what? We're not going to do that. What we're going to do? We're going to give it to our listeners free. Do you know why? Because they're awesome and we love them.
That's right.
So if you go to CatholicTalkShow.com/hollow, you can get the number one Catholic app for free for a limited period of time. But then after that, you'll pay for the premium features because you're going to get hooked on it because it's great. And then you're going to be going there all the time.
I mean, like, I can't imagine anything in this world bringing you closer to Christ than a Bible, right? But outside of that, you've got this app that has the treasures of the church, literal, like chant, like minute prayers, the
Lexia Divina.
The Lexia Divina and daily prayers.
Father Mike Schmitz, he is a treasure of the church.
Yeah.
He is a treasure of the church.
And he does a Bible in 1 year.
I can't say enough about the guy.
Look, you know, we should do an episode.
All right, enough. Okay?
We should do an episode about Mike Schmitz and how awesome he is.
But they also his awesomeness is contained in the Hallow app.
And that couldn't be contained in a bottle. That bottle would explode because no one puts new Mike Schmidt in old wineskins because it would burst with awesomeness.
But Jonathan Rumi now.
Jonathan Rumi's the man.
He's also on the Hallow app.
Yeah.
And we had him on the show, and he prayed the Our Father in Aramaic on our show.
Can I make a request to the Hallow app, guys? Alex, Alejandro, please.
Alessandro.
Alessandro, please put Jonathan Rumi putting the Aramaic Our Father on your
great
app.
Idea.
That is like, it's I beautiful. Would play that over and over again.
That's something people would pay for, but they don't need to because it's free. If you go to CatholicTalkShow.com/hollow. But, you know, if you have a problem sleeping, have a nice glass of wine and then listen to their sleep prayer stories. Jonathan Rumi tells you a really nice story in his luxuriant, rich voice. That sounds like Cordoban leather. And you're just going to fall right asleep.
Mahogany.
You're going to sleep like I would say a baby, but babies sleep like crap. They just scream and cry and, you know.
Not mine. That's why I had 7.
Okay, there you go. Well, they sleep like Delacrosse.
I got good genes.
I think Delacrosse is plural for Delacrosse, right?
That's right.
I mean, you're a sleeper, dude. And if you pass that gene to your kids, man, they probably sleep like absolute champs.
Probably.
Yep. So anyway, hollow.com, number one Catholic app. Get it for free. CatholicTalkShow.com/hollow.
Number one Catholic university, my alma mater, Ave Maria University. If you want to get closer to God and, you know, you've got the Hallow app, you've got a devotion to the Word of God, you got devotion to the Eucharist, by far you need to go to a university like Ave Maria because outside of that, truly is a great, great university based on the Catholic heritage of Scripture and tradition, veritatis splendor, the splendor of truth, pursuing truth, fides quaerens intellectum, faith-seeking understanding. It is a community that is based on the Catholic life, and they have close to 40 undergrad degrees available. They have master's programs, PhD programs, and the best part about this university is at the very heart of it is the Church of Ave Maria Town. And in that beautiful church that really depicts what the words Ave Maria mean, Hail Mary from the Annunciation, the angel Gabriel announcing Hail Mary, full of grace. In that respect, on the facade of the church, you have a beautiful marble relief of the Annunciation scene with the 12 apostles. And as you enter into the sanctuary, it is one of the most breathtaking churches in the United States. And our young people who attend school at Ave Maria get to go to that church daily.
See, but it's not just, not I don't want to say just, but it's not only the Catholic worship aspect of Ave Maria. Now, you found your vocation there and you became a priest. Now, vocation doesn't always mean being a priest or a nun. A lot of times vocation means to be called from Latin vocari. Your vocation is who you are and what you are meant to do in life. Ave Maria helps young people find that through amazing programs, amazing mentors, amazing friendships, amazing campus and environment to find the vocation in your life, right? Yeah. You might be a marine biologist, they have courses on that. You might want to be a business administrator. They have courses on that. But it's more than a job. It's a vocation. So
when you're around people that think the same, that are there for God, that expand into 40 different degrees.
And challenge you.
Right? You got people studying law that are friends with people studying accounting.
That's right.
Right? But the core of who they are is their faith. Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, that's what the school tries to drive. And when you connect with people in that way, that's when the vocation appears. Mm-hmm. Right?
Now, so if you're a young kid listening to this and you're considering college, number one, this episode's probably not for you. You're not allowed to drink until you're 21.
Yeah.
Don't do it. But if you are listening to
and
this.
And if any of my kids are out there that actually altar serve, don't even get good bad ideas from this guy.
Don't. That was the 80s. You can get away with it back then. But nowadays, you can't get away with that anymore. Times have changed, right?
Yeah. I've got cameras everywhere.
But no more Michael Jackson.
Go to avemaria.edu. And you can learn more about the school. So go find your vocation, Ave Maria. Go Gyrenes.
Amen.
All right.
Now let's go find the best sacramental wine from the Oneida Winery.
Are these all Oneida?
Yeah, these are all Oneida, with the exception of one, which we'll taste at the end.
It's Oneida.
So, no, it's
Oneida. It says
Oneida.
Like, it looks like a dictionary, you know, where it's like trying to get you to
say it correctly.
And you're saying it wrong.
No, but it says O, and then there's ne.
Or knee.
The knights who say knee, Ryan. Let's not get in the weeds right now. Ryan, what we have here is a St. Michael's blush.
I'm going to hit you with the wine cork right now.
This is a pink wine.
All right, so we need some structure. Let's try these wines. Ryan, tell us what kind of wines we've got.
Well, this is the mystery wine that Father Rich has. We'll talk about that later. We're going to go red to white, maybe a little bit of rosé over there.
Let's see what we got.
This is the Oneida St. Michael's Red.
All right.
And this is the Oneida St. Michael's Rosé.
Rosé all day is what?
Rosé all day.
You say that all the time. That's like your motto in life.
No, it's not.
Dude, you have that tattooed over your belly button in old English writing.
I'm going to break a bottle over your head if you don't shut up.
Yeah, of rosé.
Would you please keep it going? Structure.
Chalice Concord.
Try making it very fancy. It's Chalice Concord.
Can you get the other ones over there? Let's see here. Pink Delaware.
That's probably Shiel's favorite. I'm sure.
He's a pink guy.
And then we've got Hout Sauternes.
Hout Sauternes.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Wow. You need some French help?
I don't know. I don't know if that was right. That's what it looks like.
And then St. Michael's Blush.
St. Michael doesn't blush.
It's a pink wine.
He crushes.
He's a confident guy. He should be called St. Michael's Crush.
Yeah.
All right. Let's refer to that as St. Michael's Crush.
Yeah. Sorry, Oneida. St. Michael's Crush. To us, Oneida.
Yeah.
St. Michael's Crush.
Yeah. Let's change that. Okay.
Pink Delaware probably needs work on that name too.
Should we start red? We should always do that. Yeah. You should always do that when you're tasting wine.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. Red to white. Yeah,
I didn't know that. Delacroix is a real.
We need to swish something for our palate cleansing.
Oh, shut up and just drink it.
What about the swishing?
Now, while you're pouring that, Father Rich, question.
I've got a little bit of coconut water here.
They're not a sponsor. Get that off the table.
Oh. We've got a lazy Susan for a reason,
Ryan. Look, if the coconut water people want to reach out to us. All right.
We're just doing a little bit at a time, guys. We don't want
to. So this is the, which one is this now?
This is the red.
The red.
St. Michael's Red.
All right.
Okay.
Which sounds appropriate for St. Michael's, not the blush, right?
The nose on it is pretty good.
When do you ever get to drink this much church wine? You always have a little sip when you go there, right?
It's always sweet, isn't it? Like church wine, isn't it always sweet?
That's really sweet.
Yeah, that is.
But church wine is always sweet.
It is.
It's always sweet.
No, it's not. Not in Europe.
Okay.
Not in Europe.
Listen, we're trying American sacramental wine, and even in other places too.
Maybe some of these are sweet.
There
might be something different here.
That's delicious. But it's not bad. I like it.
It's not bad.
It's almost like a like my mom drinks wine like this, you know?
Mm-hmm. Let's keep that in first place, and then as we go through, we'll replace them. We'll make an order of them.
Let me get my phone.
This is St. Michael's.
No, we don't even need to take this. Look, we'll just play King of the Hill with first place, second place.
Well, I might have a different first place here.
I think we need a consensus. Guys, I think the so we still have this one
we're
left.
We're aiming that at consensus,
one's,
yeah.
That one's off the table.
We still have this one left.
So we're moving to what now?
Chalice Concord.
Hold on. Keep that on the Lazy Susan.
Okay. Well, you know what, everyone? And then put the marker by there.
Yeah, there you go. I'll take Eric's.
Yeah, Commander Eric Myers.
Yeah, shout out to Eric Myers.
Spin it.
Oh, wait, hold on. Put Eric near me.
What are you doing?
All right, here we go.
I got St. Dismas. All right.
Spin it. There you go. All right.
You know, this is the only time having a Lazy Susan as our tables ever made sense.
This is, yes.
Chalice Concord.
Here, we're going to put you by Jesus. Okay, this is Chalice Concord.
All right.
Yep.
Ooh, that's definitely grape juicy.
Oh, that's grape juice. That is grape juice.
What's Concord grape, man? It's like Welch's Concord.
That is, grape juice. That's definitely in line with grape juice for sure.
I don't even.
I like it though. That's tasty. I actually prefer this one than the first one.
I can't believe it's 12% alcohol. It tastes like grape juice.
Turn them this way so I can see the names of them.
Okay.
Chalice Concord,
and then Michael's Red.
So I bet the Methodists love that one because that's like Concord.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Yeah, no, they use grape juice because they don't care.
Yeah.
You know,
I like Chalice Concord so far.
You're
saying Michael's Red?
I'm ambivalent to both of them. I'd say Saint Michael's Red was better to me.
Tastes more like wine.
This is good.
Right? It does. It tastes more. That's a good point. Saint Michael's Red tastes more like wine. I like the flavor of the Chalice Concord.
Saint Michael's Rosé. Like Saint Michael, are you guys getting the theme here? Saint Michael is the bearer of wine. I don't know.
Yeah, he's like Francis Ford Coppola, man, with all of his wines.
Spin it. There you go.
We got to follow the.
Okay, please. Okay, there you
no
go.
No spillage, Ryan.
No, you got to spin it right. All right.
There you go. Spin it right.
All right, Saint Michael's here Rosé.
Rosé.
Cheers, everybody.
Cheers.
That's nice.
Do
that
not
is
like.
Very nice.
I don't like.
I'm top of my list right now.
Okay. I like this. Let me go back to it. I don't like rosé wine.
Yeah, that's very good.
But this tastes very much like rosé like, wine.
This is not very sweet. Good. It's not overly sweet.
No.
Okay. Now, how are we judging
and
this?
Most rosés are very sweet, and that's why I don't like rosés too much.
Are we judging this on what is most worthy to be used in mass, or what would we like to drink outside
both.
Of this? Both.
Because we want to drink it. The accidents don't say the same.
So I would say the same. Right. I would say for mass.
And I'd want my people to enjoy what we prepare. Yeah, I mean, there's an artistry to this.
Look, when Jesus changed water into
wine. I'm having a little bit more. I want to.
All right, give me a little bit more, dude.
Commander Eric, no.
Commander, hold on.
This is good.
I like this Lazy Susan deal.
It's good. It's not a crisp. Rose,
we lost Dismas.
Which is what the good rosés are, you know.
It's got a lot of sugar in it.
They don't add sulfates to rosés, I don't think, either.
Well, I think it's on the label.
Huh?
It's pretty sugary. Look at the fingers of this right here.
Yeah.
See that?
It's a nice color.
But you see
it's
all the fingers it leaves,
very
the,
nice
the
wine.
Sugar coating.
Oh,
there.
Yeah. Look at that.
All right. We're spinning this one.
So,
okay.
So what's next?
So what's next is the Pink Delaware.
All right.
Yeah. I got it right here.
Now this one looks to me like the wine you see in a lot of masses. They're always very kind of whitish red. They're not. You don't see very many dark, deep red wines.
Well, in Florida, I see a lot of red wines being used. We use a red wine. A lot of the churches I've been associated with, we use a red wine. But one of the arguments out in the West Coast from a lot of priests, because a lot of priests use colored wines like this, and they don't want it to stain the chalices that are more absorbent.
Okay.
And
what's an absorbent chalice?
It's like a pewter, like
doesn't a chalice have to be lined with precious metals?
Yeah, with a coating of
gold or silver.
Like a gold or silver. So, and at times, after a long time of use, it starts to stain.
Goodbye, new chalice. I got a stained chalice because I'm putting wine in there.
Drink your Pink Delaware, Delacrosse.
The blood of Jesus is stained
in
my chalice. Oh, my gosh. What a horrible. Oh, you choking?
You all right?
Yep, I'm good. It went down the wrong pipe.
That is the wine I know
this
as
tastes
a
like,
kid.
Yeah, this tastes like church wine.
Yes.
Totally
this
church
is
wine.
This is church wine right here.
Unfortunately, it's called Pink Delaware.
Well, it's probably where
but
it's...
But this totally reminds me of my childhood.
Now...
I don't know why St. Michael's not a part of that. I don't know. It's good wine.
It's not bad.
It's very good wine.
I mean, would you sit down and drink one of these? You know, if you have your friends over, would you like, hey, man, let's go... Crush some Pink Delaware and play some ping pong or something.
No.
No?
I'd eat it with some...
You'd eat it?
Huh?
What?
I'd drink it with some food, right? Like...
I don't know if I've had any wine yet that I would say that I would have with a meal.
Okay, I was trying to. The Concord was not bad. I was trying to give some to credit drink? To Sacramento wine.
Well, wasn't that that was the grape juice?
Yeah, I mean it's not it's drinkable.
That's true.
It doesn't compare to like a grape.
Okay,
wine.
Is it my turn here?
But Pink Delaware.
Why do I have the hard pronunciation here?
Hot Sauternes.
Hot Sauternes.
Can I see it?
Yeah, look.
Is it French?
No, these are all made in New York.
Hot Sauternes.
I like it.
You like
it? Yeah.
I already like the I like the color of it.
That's pretty. That's like a straight up white
this
wine.
This is a white wine.
And you can have white wines during mass, you know? Well, that's me.
You can have white or red.
Or pink. You can have pink.
Or red.
But we covered that.
Okay, let's check this one, out.
This looks like a Chardonnay or something like that. Tastes like Chardonnay.
All of them are sweet. Have you noticed that?
See, this is what we had in California.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It wouldn't mess up
I don't want to mess up our linen or chalice.
Would you get out of here?
The California Bishops Conference said they don't want stained chalices.
It harms the
12%. The 12% alcohol is speaking in these guys. I don't know what they're talking about. So,
all right, that one's good. That's basic stuff. Everything's sweet.
So far, this is my number one. Really? I like that, and then I like the let's
say Michael's
these,
red.
Can you point these in this direction here, Ryan? What was the one behind you?
Pink Delaware. You like that one?
You like that one?
I think
Look,
you
don't
know.
Be ashamed. Look, if you like Pink Delaware, own it. It's all right.
It's okay, Father.
Let's open up the next
one. We still love you.
Look, you can
St. Michael's blush. I'm blushing right now.
You can roll up drinking Pink Delaware, listen to Prince, and stomp a dude out and still be a bad dude. Like, don't be ashamed to like what you like.
Hercules.
My dad worked as a bounty hunter for a while, and his partner, Ron
St. Dodd, Michael's blush.
He used to drink the most feminine drinks. But he was like a 6'6" bounty hunter, and he'd drink drinks like parasols in it and stuff like that. And he's like,
I don't know what parasol
like an umbrellas and stuff like that.
Oh.
He's like, I like what I like. I don't care. He's like,
why are you pouring me a half a glass over here? We were just trying it.
Oh, chug.
Maybe I'll like this the best. No, you do.
He's got a St. Michael's Crush heavy portfolio going on right now.
It is blush. They're all sweet wines. I don't like sweet wines.
Oof, that's very sweet.
It's all these are sweet wines. Mm-hmm. And you know what?
New York wines are sweet, though. They always are.
I don't drink New York wines. I drink Sacramento wines.
I'm trying to think.
Sacramento? I only take a little tiny sip. Yeah.
You know what? I think I liked the rosé the best. Between the rosé and the house.
All right, let's line these up.
We got one more left. Let's do what we got.
Well, no, we went through all the
Onidas. I'm not drinking all this. I don't know where to pour it.
In your mouth.
No.
Come on, chug it. Chug it for the camera. Do it.
You're Ryan Anthony Delacrosse. Anthony of the desert or Anthony of Padua? What's his last name? Padua.
Anthony Zakaria?
You're rad, okay?
Yeah. Come on, just put it
down.
Come
on, Ryan Delacrosse. What's happened to you?
Ugh.
You've
it's
changed.
Sweet wine. I'm going to throw up.
Come on.
He's going to have such a headache tomorrow.
Yeah, he is. Okay.
All right. Let's line him up.
All right. Let's talk about it.
All right. We got Chalice Concord.
I think that's going to be pretty low on the list.
Yeah, Chalice Concord is going
to
be.
I like the St. Michael Red.
If we have
to
revisit any of them, feel free to revisit.
I'm a red type guy. We have a St. Michael Rosé.
The Rosé was. I'm going to go with the red as my number one so far.
I like the red.
And the rosé is my number one.
I
so
like
I'm cool
red.
With I'm cool with it's that
all,
lineup
sweet.
So far. Because if you guys are two on one, two this, against one.
The Sauternes, that was not bad. It was the one you said, this California.
Yeah, Sauternes was great.
Okay, so why don't you.
So we will put
I think
that one here.
There you go. There you go.
So 1, 2, 3. And then it's between the Chalice Concord, which is the grape juice. Chalice Concord, which is the grape juice.
Chalice Concord.
Well, I mean, it's wine. It tastes
juice.
Like grape juice.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it tastes like grape juice. And then the Pink Delaware and the St. Michael's Blush.
Blush.
We got to put the blush.
I mean, it's all sweet wine.
I'd say blush
tastes sweet.
Blush was kind of middle of the road for me.
Yeah.
It has nuances of
pink,
sweetness.
I think Pink Delaware was better than the blush.
Pink Delaware.
I actually like Pink Delaware.
It was actually surprisingly, as far as these wines go, not terrible.
It wasn't bad.
None of these wines are terrible.
At the end of the day, it's sweet wine.
What's so that? Then St. Michael's Blush Nobody's and then the Chalice Concord.
Concord's the last place.
Yeah, I think.
And then right. I think the Blush.
And then the Chalice Concord.
Okay.
So the way we have it lined up right now, which I'm cool with because I would put the rosé first.
All right, let's compare the rosé versus the red again because it seems like we're not decided.
That's okay. True.
All right.
All right.
For the number like one the spot.
So what's
number three
jam.
Right now?
Number three is the Sauternes.
I don't think the Sauternes is going to have a chance to get to number one.
Spit it. There you go.
Is this one my? Oh no, that's a.
Okay.
Is this one?
Yeah.
Okay.
So this is a taste test between.
This is the red.
The red.
Howard,
and
do you
the
want
rose.
Any? No, he's working. He's not allowed to have any.
All right.
All right.
Cheers, everybody.
Cheers.
Y'all stop sniffing it. It's sweet wine. Jeez, I'm trying to tell y'all.
That's really sweet.
It's super sweet.
That's so
it's
sweet.
Too sweet. It doesn't have any.
I'm
wine
not a big
taste
fan of that.
Me either.
Yeah, I'm gonna why move
do we,
that down.
Why do we play it? Why
that's,
do we play
that's
it again?
Y'all, that was the first one that y'all drank.
Yeah, let's move.
And
let's move that.
I'd
red.
Move that down past the Pink Delaware.
Yeah, put that in between Pink Delaware and the Blush.
Okay.
All right. So this is all right.
Okay.
I can like tell that. You one thing. I know that our sponsors are absolutely loving sponsoring this episode. They're like, this is the quality content that we signed up for,
yeah.
that we wanted to associate our brand name with.
I can't wait to fall asleep with Hallow tonight.
Cheers to Hallow. Cheers to
Cheers
Hallow.
Man.
All right. And cheers to our guys. Patrons. Guys, this one's for
yeah,
you.
Man.
Now, we got something really cool that when we finish this up, mm-hmm. I want to tell the patrons.
Mm-hmm. No, we have another bottle here.
No, that's it. Yeah. We'll get there.
The rosé. I'm sorry. All this stuff is sweet wine. I can't pick one or the other. It's like drinking
because you don't have a discerning palate.
It's like drinking Sunkiss and
See,
Dr.
Yeah,
Pepper.
I don't mind. I don't mind this for mass. Like I like this actually.
You know what?
See, but it's got this kind of. It kind of has like a. It looks a little bit like brandy.
Yeah, it
Pink
does have
Delaware.
That look.
Yeah. That's my favorite. For drinking the blood of Christ.
All right, let's try the Pink Delaware one more time.
That's my favorite.
Put it on the Lazy Susan.
This is what I've been used to my whole life. Whose is that?
They're on the regular positions.
Is that mine?
That's mine.
It. That's you.
That's me. And now we're a little bit. We got to spin right. it a little bit more.
All right.
All right.
Pink Delaware.
Pink Delaware.
That's the best.
I'm going to say that Pink Delaware is kind of the definitive Dude, church wine.
That's
it's,
great.
It's what everybody's drinking.
Let me see that bottle.
And it's in the middle of, so if you're worried about.
They're all terrible. I would never use them in like, you know, a dinner setting. I drink them after dinner.
If it's terrible and you wouldn't use them for dinner, why would you use them for the precious blood of Christ?
Because it doesn't have sulfates and it's yeah, like, so, I don't
okay.
know, cheap. I don't know.
Maybe.
I don't think it's cheap.
No, it's not cheap. I mean, it's not cheap.
I
and we found
think,
that out today.
I also think we were used
to
probably
full. Do you buy
$6
bottle of wine?
What's that?
These are
that's a $12 bottle
when
of wine.
When my grandfather was alive, yes. I
one
used
of my
buy,
favorite bottles of wine
I used
is
to
like
buy
12
him
bucks.
The Carlo Rossi at, gallon, you know.
That's good.
Burgundy.
Dude,
that's
you get
good.
The Campo Viejo Tempranillo, you can get it for $10, $12.
My dad drank, they had a little thumb thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
My
that's
dad
I got
drank that every night.
And he'd put some seltzer in it.
Yeah. So guys, do we think we're in agreement here?
My dad didn't put seltzer in. He was a hardcore dude.
So I think we're saying Pink Delaware is the definitive church wine.
I think it's the one that I've tasted the most.
Yeah,
this is the one that tastes like church.
I think you guys are going to like this next one.
Okay.
All right, here we go.
Now, this is what you use in
so
your
deli.
Parish a lot,
it's
right?
got a cork.
Yeah, this is what I use
it's
in my parish.
It's got a cork in it.
It's got a cork. It's got a beautiful... Let me take a hold of that real quick before...
Yeah, no problem.
We So, as you can see, there's a beautiful image of St. John Paul II holding up a chalice. And this is a very... sentimental thing for me as a pastor, because, you know, a big shout out goes to the Molzer family, who in their former parish, they were a part of a group that actually made sacramental wine in the tradition of respect for canon law and following all the prescripts of the church. And they did that as a community. There was a number of people who did that for their church. And then they supplied it in the offerings to the church, and then it was used for sacramental wine. So he's been, you know, Mark and Amy have been doing this along with the family and the kids.
We saw them jogging today.
Yeah, we did. And you know, this is a beautiful offering to the church. So let's crack open that sacramental wine.
Let's see
what you think.
All right, man. This is
the mystery vintage. Let's open it up.
This is the only one with the cork.
Yep.
You know? Mm-hmm. And so yeah, here we go. We're gonna go in here and we're gonna get the cork going. So they made this in their parish?
Well, they make it at their house, and then they have in big vats, and
it's in their house.
And then they bottle it. And then awesome. They printed this beautiful image of St. John Paul II.
Yeah.
I just love it. Freaking cool. It is.
I'm telling you.
There's a lot
of
stores.
They make it in their house.
There's a lot of stores now where you can go and get winemaking kits for at home.
I bet you it's sweet. I'm just saying.
I don't know. Let's see.
Let's go. All right. Here we go. Amy and
Mark.
And Mark.
Mark Moser. Thank you very much. You go the wrong way on that thing.
Now, this is the this is the wine you use in your parish.
Yes.
Okay.
You use this exclusively, huh?
Yes.
Wow, that's awesome, man.
That's quite the endorsement.
Well, the thing is I truly believe in subsidiarity in every respect.
I agree.
People in the parish making the wine. I love it, man.
I mean, if we can move away from huge manufacturing, I mean, nothing against this company, but you know, these big manufacturing companies, like, we have roles and responsibilities to our local community, and we've got to support that.
All right.
Oh, wow.
Now that's grape juice.
See, this definitely tastes very relatable to the Chalice Concord.
It's probably the same type of grape.
Yeah. And, you know.
Very good.
Very tasty.
I would say that this has a deeper flavor.
It does.
Yeah.
It does, right. Without a doubt. Mm-hmm. Without a doubt. I would prefer this to that for sure. But the thing that I love the most is that the heart and the devotion behind the preparation.
Well, it goes to that Eucharistic prayer, the work of human hands.
You know?
Yes, in the parish.
Exactly. Yeah. It's in the parish, you know? And it's just something that I absolutely cherish.
No, you cherish in the parish.
I cherish in the parish.
Cherish in the parish. I think we're going to all need naps after this show.
I know, man.
Well, not me. I can hold my alcohol. I mean, look, I could drink all kinds of Chablis and rosé and be just fine, dude. All right.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, but it's I didn't pour you a big glass either. I know. So I could pour you a little bit more.
No.
Go get that Buffalo Trace. Now we have a cool announcement.
We do.
So I think we have clear winner. Like, yes. Let's line that back up so everyone can see. But funny story about this. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we wanted to do this episode and we needed some wine. When we needed to try a variety.
That's right.
So we called around and found out where we can buy a variety of sacramental wines. And we went down to the Shrine of Our Lady of La Leche, and it's a church supply there.
That's right. We went down to the mission grounds. And for Ryan, it was the first time that they went down
to
the
mission.
That was
really cool. I appreciated going there.
That's awesome.
It was one of the things I wanted to do down here. So, and Father Rich showed us around. Really an amazing place. You can really get a sense of history and the faith there. So that was really cool.
And there's like a mystical element to the grounds as well. John F. Kennedy called it the holiest place in the country, and it certainly is. And
the first Catholic Mass celebrated in the United States was celebrated there in 1536. Yep. I mean, that's
by Father Lopez. And it's a way that we could support the mission and certainly check out their website online. And, you know, it was just an awesome experience today.
So we go there and we ask them, we're like, hey, we want a sample of all the wines. They don't sell wines by the bottle.
Right.
They sell wines by the case.
That's right.
We got six different kinds of wines.
We got a lot of wines.
We got six cases of wines. We went into the mission Nombre de Dios, and made it rain.
Yes, we did. We made it rain for you, okay? We made it rain for you.
So we need some help.
We need help drinking this. We cannot drink all of this sacramental wine. So what we're going to do is, for all of our patrons who sign up for this special tier, and all of our patrons for select tiers will send you a message, we're going to send you a bottle of this wine if you want it.
Yeah.
You got to help us drink this.
Yeah.
Or reach out to us. Like, we bought a lot of wine. We were trying to buy this much wine, and we bought a lot of wine, and it kind of kicked us in the pants, and we know some of you guys want some of this.
And we're going to give it to you.
We're going to give it to you.
Absolutely.
Going to give it to you.
Become a patron, please.
All right. So we're going to We're going to give this wine out. Now, if you get stuck with the Concord Chalice, sorry.
That's not bad.
It's not bad. We're going to send it to you random.
Okay? Absolutely.
You know, not everyone's going to be lucky enough to get Pink Delaware. Okay?
But I know what bottle Ryan Delacrosse is taking home with him this evening.
I'm going to punch you in the face. I'm going to punch you in the face.
Dude, violence against a priest, really, Ryan?
Sin.
On a Catholic talk
it's
show?
It's a sin, Ryan.
He's a friend he's a priest. I know. Remember that.
No, he's not.
Ryan, right here,
he is
Ryan,
a priest.
Huh?
With
you're going to punch this, Ryan?
I'm going to punch you twice now.
Wow.
Yeah.
This episode went there.
You're a terrible man,
you're freaking
Ryan.
Slavic.
You're terrible.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'd like to apologize for everybody having to see this.
You don't even know me. You just don't even know what I'm going through.
I know.
We're really not. I mean, this is not
Listen,
bad.
Guys, the best wine I like tonight is the
Molzer.
One that the Molzers did. Yeah. For you and mm-hmm. your parish.
Yeah.
Yep.
Like, that's a beautiful community-driven thing.
Mm-hmm.
And consecrating that, I wish I could consecrate something, but if I could, I'd just do it like that, you know?
And that's what I love about it the most. And I truly believe that every parish should have a ministry like that. And you're preparing the unconsecrated hosts and preparing the sacramental wine. It is a great devotional ministry, and I love that this is a part of our parish. And we love, you know, our patrons. And this show was so much fun, and we hope that you enjoyed it as much as we did.
And we enjoy have a lot of wine. Bottles of wine for you.
Yep, yes. So it's coming your way. And, you know, God bless you guys, and we'll see you next week. Mm.